it's safe to say that everyone in this room has encountered at least one situation in their life where you've just felt like thrown in the towel. You've been there, you've worked it, you've fought, you've battled, and you're just tired and you just want to throw in the towel. We've probably felt like the whole world has been against us a time or two or 50. We feel like maybe that no matter what we do, everything turns out bad or wrong. How many of you have said this to yourself? No matter what I do, nothing's going to change. Am I the only one that's ever said that to myself?
Nope.
How often have we felt like we've just gotten so far down in the molly grubs that there is nothing and no one that can bring us up again? I want you to know that all of those thoughts, every single one of them, are lies. Lies from the pit of hell. Those of us who have hope in Christ don't have to feel that way ever. Yeah, there'll be another reason somewhere along the line, somewhere down the road, that you're going to feel like everything has beaten you up and you're so far down you can't come back up. But you've got hope. You have hope in Christ, and you don't have to feel that way. It's time that we realize that because we serve a risen Savior, we can live victorious lives. There are a number of powerful two-word phrases that we find in the Word of God. Phrases like healed all, gathered in, cast out, raised up, pulled down. Every one of those phrases used in the Word of God are used in a context with the power of God. However, there's one phrase that is used some 43 times in Scripture that surpasses all of those that I just said. And that phrase is this: but God. And I know we've preached about it before. I preached about it. Pastor Jeremy may have preached about it. You probably heard multiple sermons on but God. But it's important that we hear again, because we forget. We forget but God all the time. This small little two-word phrase communicates such a tremendous message to anyone who hears it. You know, it's God's response to Satan's challenge. Satan will challenge us, and our response, God's response to that is, but God. That's all you have to know. It's the bottom line. It's the last word. It's all over but the shouting. But God. When viewed in relation to the challenges of life, it's what up is to down, what life is to death, what in is to out. But God stands totally opposed to the negative roar of this world. The world says no, but God says yes. The world says can't, but God says can. The world says won't, but God says will. The world says defeat, but God says victory. But God will climb the highest mountain, cross the darkest valley, sing songs of victory in the midnight hour. But God exclaims, I'm going to the enemy's camp, and you know what I'm going to do? I'm taking back what he stole from me. He can't have it anymore. But God, it's mine. But God is courageous, confident, and it's conclusive. Understand this, people. I am speaking to you from God's perspective this morning. Too many times we look at things through our own eyes, our own human finite eyes, and what do we see? Nothing but failure. But God tells us to look at it as though God sees it. Put on your kingdom glasses, people, and see things the way God sees them. You know, as Matthew West has that God, that song talks about seeing with God's eyes. That's what we need to do. We need to see with God's eyes. I tell myself this all the time because I'm constantly putting myself down. But God says I'm a masterpiece.
Yes.
Yeah. And I have a million reasons why I'm not. But God is the final answer. Let's look at Genesis chapter 37. Genesis chapter 37, starting in verse 22. Familiar passage to many of us. Say amen when you get there.
Amen.
Amen. All right. And Reuben said to them, shed no blood, but cast him into the pit, into this pit, which is in the wilderness, and do not lay a hand on him, that he might deliver him out of their hands and bring him back to his father. So it came to pass, when Joseph had come to his brothers, they had stripped him, that they had stripped Joseph of his tunic, the tunic of many colors that was on him. Then they took him and cast him into the pit, and the pit was empty, and there was no water in it. And they sat down to a meal. Then they lifted their eyes and looked, and there was a company of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead with their camels, bearing spices, balms, and myrrhs on their way to carry them down to Egypt. So Judah said to his brothers, what profit is there if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his brothers listened. Funny how suddenly Judah changed his mind, didn't he? Or he changed the mind of his brothers. He was always a little closer to his brother. In this particular text, we are reminded of the story of Joseph. He had been humiliated by his brothers. He had been sold into slavery. He had been slandered by the wife of Potiphar. We didn't read that part, but it's further on in the story. He'd been slandered by the wife of Potiphar, and yet he stood steadfast, strong in his convictions. It talks of how he had been forgotten by the chief baker after he had interpreted that baker's dreams. Then he had been left to his vices. The life of Joseph is perhaps the best Old Testament example of accuracy of the scriptures in Romans 8:28, where we read, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Best example in the Old Testament of that verse right there is Joseph's life. The sale of Joseph as a slave was meant for harm by his brothers. But the end result was Joseph becoming prime minister of Egypt. He became reunited with his family, and he saved their lives. Joseph endured many trials and tribulations. Satan had done so many things to him that were meant for bad. Oh, but God meant it for good. So many times the devil throws our things away. He throws things that are meant to keep us from trusting God. He throws them away so we can't trust God. He tries to do everything he can to keep us from trusting in God. Things that are meant to make us feel sorry for ourselves. Things that are meant to make us give up. That's what the devil gives us. He takes away all of our faith. Genesis 20, verse 50. But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about, as in this day, to save many people alive. See, things that are meant for bad, God means for good. God takes us through many things that will make us stronger. Yes, he allows us to go through tough times to help make us stronger. God takes us through these things in order to build our faith and to lift us up. I don't know if you realize it or not, but among the thorns, you generally will find a rose. Typically, you'll find a rose. Satan means everything for bad, but God means it for good. Those times when everything seems to be going great in our life, and then all of a sudden, bam, we hit rock bottom. Satan has an agenda, but God means it for good. Whenever a husband and a wife seem to be on opposite sides of the room, Satan has an agenda. He means it for bad. But God says differently. When it looks like your children just don't hear what you're saying, they don't behave, just when you think your kids don't understand, Satan keeps those battles going. He means it for bad, but God means it for good. All the things that happened in Joseph's life, the average man today would have been way too much for him. Would not be able to handle all the things Joseph went through. I can hear Joseph saying, my brothers, my own flesh, have betrayed me and sold me as a slave. My master's wife, she accused me and caused me to fall out of favor with Pharaoh. And he's thrown me in jail now. The chief butler, whose dream I interpreted, I told him what that dream meant. He was supposed to come and get me, but he's forgotten me and left me here in this prison. Yes, to the average man, it seems like quite a lot. It seems very bleak, the future. But Joseph knew that no matter what was thrown at him, knew that no matter what was done to him, no matter how Satan attacked him, the God that he served would allow him to say, I may be down, but God. People, this taught, that's the kind of attitude that we need to have these days, in general as well as in the church. We need to understand that no matter what we go through, no matter how bad things get, no matter what Satan throws at us, just keep on dodging it. Because you might be down, but the story's not over. See, the devil always tries to bring confusion when there's order. Have you ever seen that? Have you ever witnessed that? If good things are happening, the devil's going to do everything he can to break them down. When the devil thinks he's got it all worked out, but God, but God, but God, the devil can't defeat God. He thought he could stop the plan of God, but God came through. He thought that he could stop the people of God, but God was victorious. All of us used to be just like those in the world. Every one of us used to be all... We don't have to live like that, people. We don't have to stay that way. We've got hope. We've got the promise of the future. But God is for us. Our lives expressing the evil within us, doing every wicked thing that our passions and our evil thoughts could lead us into. Oh, but God has come on the scene. God has taken us out of that. We started out being bad, being born with evil natures, and we were under God's anger just like everybody else. But God is so rich in mercy. He has so much loved us that he gave us the most precious gift ever. He loved us when we were spiritually dead, when we were doomed by our sins. He gave us back our lives again when Christ was raised from the dead. Only by his undeserved favor have we ever been saved and lifted up from this grave that we were bound for. Lifted up into the glory along with Christ. That's where we sit with him in heavenly realms. We will be there one day when we're no longer in the flesh. I'm just trying to tell you that no matter what the situation, no matter how bad it might look, no matter how bad you may have been, no matter if it's day or night, remember that whatever comes, but God is on your side. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, he said, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And the list can go on and on and on and on of those people who will not inherit the kingdom of God. And Satan says, but so were all of you just like that. But God comes on the scene, and the very next verse in chapter 6, verse 11, he says, but you were washed. But you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord and by the Spirit of our God. Satan says you can't make it on your own. But God says, I am for you. I am more than against the world. Satan says, hold on to all your problems. Nobody can help you. But God says, cast all your care on me, for I care for you. Satan says, take the easy way out. Do the easy thing. But God says the race is not given to the swift or to the strong, but to the one that endures till the end. Yeah. Satan says your enemies will have surrounded you and come out with your hands up. But God says, I'll make your enemies your footstool. Yes, Lord, yes. We won't have enemies that can defeat us. They'll be under our feet. Satan says sickness is going to follow you. But God says, by his stripes we are healed. See, the enemy was about to try, he was trying to take my daddy. My dad was in the midst of, in the yet. Satan says, I'll make you a slave to sin, but God says, for God so loved the whole world that he gave his only son. Satan says, I will take your son and hold him in the grave, but God says, after 3 days, he'll rise again. Satan says, I've got him now. He's in the grave. I've got him now. But God says, death, where is your strength? Sting, big grave, where is your victory? Amen. Hallelujah. People don't listen to the lies and the disparaging words of our enemy. He's out to destroy us. He wants to bring us down. But God has a better plan. Realize that God has the final say. We need to see things from our Father's perspective. We need to incline our ear and hear. But God's always got a better plan. Satan says defeat, but God says victory. Satan says disease, but God says healing. Satan says hate, but God says love. Satan says destruction, but God says restoration in my name. Satan says division, but God says no, we'll have a unity now. Satan says abandonment, but God says redemption draws nigh. Oh, Satan means it for bad, but God, every time we feel low, we need to lift our spirits up by saying to ourselves, but God, he's got a better way, he's got a better plan. Don't listen to the enemy. Don't listen to him. Hallelujah. Whenever it seems like the devil has his foot holding you down, remember this, you can't defeat him. Oh, but don't lose hope. He's got you down. He's got you, his foot right across your throat. And you're going, well, I can't do it on my own. But God can. That's all you need to know, is that God can do it. If this whole world has gotten you down and you can't find a way up, if you can't do anything else on your own, remember those two little words. But God. No matter what the situation is, no matter what the problem is, no matter how bad it may seem to you, but God can make it better. You see, any one of us could have easily been an alcoholic, a drug user, a child abuser on our deathbed. We could have been out of our mind, any one of us. We could have been without a roof over our head, homeless. We could be without food to eat, without any money in our pocket. We could be without a friend, lost and on the way to hell. But God, oh, he loved us so much that he saved our soul. He sent his only son to live and to die as payment for my sins and for your sins. And that's what we have to do. We have to make it personal, people. The devil does. The devil knows us better than we know ourselves. We have to make it personal because he does. And if we don't make it personal, he's going to defeat us. We need to make it personal and battle against the devil. We know he's in the end of his reign. We know what happens. He does too, but he keeps trying and keeps trying. And the end is getting closer and closer for him, and he amps up his war against us. Oh, but God. Oh, but God. God has never changed. He never will. He never has. He's always the same. God, early one Sunday morning, on a Sunday morning early, God got up with all the power in his hands. Now, I'm not just talking about police power. I'm not just talking about White House power. I'm not talking about any of that. I'm talking that God got up with all the power of power in his hands. And that's why we can stand and say, God is going to take care of me. We might want to think that we have it all figured out. We might want to think, you can go ahead and come up and start thinking. We might want to think that we know what's best for us. Oh, but people, we don't have a clue what's best for us. We have no idea what is best for us. But God, he's got a plan. He's got a plan for every life that's here in this room today. And if all we have to do is seek after his will. That's all we have. What a little bitty thing we are required to do to have what he's got for us for all eternity. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. See, if you think you have it all figured out, if you think you can do it all on your own, the end result's going to be death. But if we will just speak those two little words, "But God," and understand He's got a plan for us, then we won't be ending in death, but eternal life. If you follow His ways, if you let Him lead you, if you will seek after God's will, you're going to find that there is nobody else that can do it like He can. How many times, it's happened to me so many times, I've thought I know the best way to do some certain situation, to handle it, and I really flub it up bad, but the next time I go through it, I let go and I let God handle it. And I'm like, wow, why didn't I think of that? He has a better plan. He knows the right way. All we have to do is let go and let Him have the reins of our life and let Him take us where He wants us to go. He can open doors that have been shut. He can open doors. He can close doors that not one single man in this world can open.
Yes.
Nobody else can do but God. He can give sight to the blind. He can make the lame walk and the dumb talk. Nobody else can do that. Nobody but God. Stand with me. And I know it's short, and I don't know why it was so short, but that's okay. It was long in pages. But God is in control. Is there some situation in your life that you're going through that you're tired of going through the valley? You're tired of walking this road that you've been on, and you just can't seem to make a way out of this road, off this road? Let go of the reins. Let God take control. Let's worship Him for a few minutes. And if you've got something that you need help praying about, come on up here. Pastor Jeremy, me, the deacons, we will be here. We will pray with you. We want you to know, but God is the best way there is. Let's worship. Let Him raise you up to life. Hallelujah.